So good afternoon to everyone and welcome to the March 10th meeting of the Operations Committee. We're very, very pleased to have you join us today. At this time, Ms. Joyner or Ms. Rivers, whomever is doing it, please call the roll so we can establish that we have a quorum.
Dr. Rudd.
Yes,
present. Trustee Atkins. Who's here? Dr. Jackson.
Present.
Trustee Grayson. Trustee Lopez.
Present.
Madam Chair, you have quorum.
Thank you so very much. Is there a reason we don't have any minutes from the last meeting?
Mrs. Lamont, I'm here. I was in another room.
Okay, Lamont is here. Okay.
Hi, I wanted to jump in. The last meeting that we actually had was a joint meeting, and so typically we tie the joint meeting minutes to the joint meetings, and the last operations were approved then.
Okay, so could we get a copy of the joint minutes, please, to all of our committee members?
Yes.
That would certainly help us. Thank you so very much. I wasn't aware that we didn't have separate minutes. Okay. Thank you so very much. This afternoon, we only have two action items, and both of them are executive appointments. The very first one is executive appointment, Vice President for Government and Community Relations. Is Dr. Lucas on the call? Yes, he is. Dr. Lucas, would you like to speak to the appointment of Lakeisha Jordan as Vice President for Government and Community Relations?
Yes, ma'am, I would. Thank you, Madam Trustee. Everyone, I just want to share that Ms. Jordan has deep D.C. government expertise. She brings strong experience and relationships within the district's government and policy landscape. She has a proven leadership record. She's been serving effectively in her current capacity since December of 2025. She has established community and governmental partnerships. She's well positioned to strengthen and expand the university's engagement with key stakeholders. And she's helping us maintain our momentum. Her familiarity with current priorities allows the university to continue advancing its government and community relations strategy without disruption. She helped move forward, led the effort for our most recent performance hearing, and has been contributing significantly. And so I am strongly recommending her to become a vice president.
Okay. You did mention that she has served notably in her current position. Would you like to share with the committee what her current position is and some of the things she has accomplished in that role?
She is, and I don't have all the detail on her current role, and the president probably can help me, and her current role as associate VP.
For government and community relations, that's the interim role she's been in, and the role prior to that was associate VP for workforce innovation strategic partnerships. Just looking at the impact she's had during the interim time period, she has played the lead role in helping us work through a couple of complex issues with the Wilson Building, and taking the lead on working through issues. And it was through her advocacy, through her relationships, and through her savviness in terms of learning how to navigate the political landscape that she helped us really, really come out really, really well. We deal with some things, as a governmental relations professional, and then and helping us to advocate the vision and getting buy-in for some key projects that are in the queue. She also has played a pivotal role in helping to engage the policymakers in the Wilson Building. And that's just in the time she's been interim. And so I would say without a doubt that she has demonstrated during this time period that she has the set of expertise, skills, knowledge, and relationships. And I'm going to stress the word relationships because, as you all know, it's very hard to facilitate buy-in without having some foundation for relationships and trust with individuals. And so you can't put a price tag on that, but she's performed exceptionally well. So I envisioned, you know, we had no doubt that she is well suited for the permanent role.
Okay. I want to make sure, General Counsel, that I do this correctly. The chair will now entertain a motion to accept this resolution. Dr. Jackson?
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Bernard Grace, a second.
It has been moved and properly seconded that this committee would accept the resolution that will be presented to the board for the appointment of Mr. Jordan as the Vice President for Government and Community Relations. Any unreadiness? Are you ready for the question? Roll call vote.
Dr. Rudd.
Abstain.
Trustee Akins.
Yes.
Dr. Jackson.
Yes.
Trustee Grayson.
Yes.
Trustee Lopez.
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion carries.
Thank you so very much. The second agenda item is the resolution for the executive appointment for Vice President, Chief Contracting and Procurement Officer. So I'm going to ask Mr. David Franklin if he would share a summary of the appointment regarding the procurement and contracts position.
Yes, good afternoon. David Franklin. I have the pleasure again of serving as the Chief Operating Officer for the university. And I want to start off by saying that the university engaged and secured a national search firm in identifying a top candidate for the Vice President, Chief Contracting and Procurement Officer. I also want to take a moment to thank the panel for the work that they've done and bring us to this point. As I said time and time again, it's one of the most time-consuming process. And I do want to thank again those individuals that took the time out of their day to actually serve on the panel. There were five search committee members representing key institutional perspectives and vast experience, including the operations, including members from the Office of the General Counsel, and board representation served on the panel. There were 33 total applications received, reflecting strong national interest in the role. 10 candidates advanced to the first round of interviews following committee screening using a three-tier evaluation framework. Highly qualified, qualified, and unqualified. Of that, three finalists were invited to the campus, which included a comprehensive stakeholder engagement and executive level evaluation. There were presentations and engagement with the broader community and the senior leadership team and meet and greet that took place with the three finalists, with that, the COO. Then two of those finalists met with the president and engaged in conversations in terms of experience and, more just as important, fit factor. There was a post-visit assessment feedback that was collected from all stakeholders. That assessment was shared again with the COO, taken into consideration. At the end of the process, Ms. Johnson emerged as the top candidate through a rigorous and competitive process. She represents the outcomes of a thorough national search rich and brings the exact blend of high education experience, transformative leadership, and technical expertise needed to strengthen the procurement office here at the University of the District of Columbia. I'll speak a little of her relevant experience, which spans over 20 years. She's currently lead end-to-end procurement to pay operations at a high ed institution, including policy, compliance, sourcing, and operational transformation. She demonstrates success managing multi-million-dollar budget, both operating and capital, while delivering measurable savings and strengthening the procurement governance. Strategic leadership and change capabilities. She's recognized as a strategic advisor to executive leadership, influence cross-functional teams, and driving enterprise improvements. She has a deep expertise in strategic sourcing, supply deliverance, policy improvement and development, risk mitigation, change management, and stakeholder engagement. Aligned with UDC's priorities, she has a strong commitment to higher education mission and community impact. Ms. Jordan is positioned to advance the procurement modernization, compliance enhancements, supply deliveries, goals, operational efficiencies, and a culture for service excellence. One of the things, the last thing I would like to share about this particular candidate that I was extremely impressed by is in her current role, and I'll share this, she's currently working at Gallaudet University. And this young lady took it upon herself to really engage with the community. She learned sign language while on the job because she felt it was important to be able to communicate and engage with her stakeholders, those of the faculty, staff, and even the students. And I found that to be extremely impressive to complement all her other prerequisite skills and education that she brings to the table. At this point, I will happy to engage any questions you may have. Also with me this afternoon, I must recognize the chair of the search committee, our vice president of human resources, VP Cilio.
VP, did you have any comments?
No, he summarized it very well done.
Thank you so very much. At this time, the chair will entertain a motion to accept this resolution for the appointment of Ms. Stephanie Johnson as vice president, chief contract and procurement officer at the University of the District of Columbia. Is there a motion?
Dr. Wright?
Yes, Dr. Jess.
I also move that we accept this resolution.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Trustee Akins. It has been moved and properly seconded that this committee will advance this name and resolution to the full board for a vote later on this afternoon. Any unreadiness? Hearing none, all those in favor, let's have a roll call vote.
Dr. Rudd?
Yes.
Trustee Atkins?
Yes.
Dr. Jackson?
Yes.
Trustee Grayson?
Yes.
Trustee Lopez?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion carries.
Thank you so very much. So Madam both Chair. Of the resolutions for executive appointments for Madam the Vice Chair. President for Government and Relations and the Vice President for Chief Contract and Procurement will be moved to the full board for a vote this afternoon. At this time, the final item on our, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman.
I just wanted to acknowledge the extraordinary job that Mr. Cilio did in leading the search. Well organized, well structured. I was, and I'll qualify by saying my legal and policy background is in procurement, and I was extraordinarily impressed with the pool of candidates we had. As he indicated, was over 30. The short list, I participated in the interviews, and I can tell you we have a five-star candidate. The search firm, Greenwood Asher, did an extraordinary job of going through the process and going through the resumes. I think all together, it was just a very seamless and smooth process. And I just wanted to acknowledge Sean Celio for a job well done.
Oh, thank you.
Well, nice. From what I read on her resume and the background information that was provided to the committee, it sounds like she should be able to hit the ground and run.
Yes.
That's what we want, and we look forward to her becoming a part of our team. Now, any other comments before we move to the final item on the agenda? For informational purposes only, we will have a report from our COO, Mr. David Franklin.
Good afternoon once again. David Franklin, Chief Operating Officer. Let me just state, I am going to be brief. I see people doing backflips already, so let's begin. Next slide, please. So the five items that I would like to touch bases on this afternoon is the renovation updates. I want to speak in terms of the lease updates, executive searches, audit updates, and upcoming items for approval. Next slide, please. Renovation updates, Van Ness Modernization Project. Building 44 is being renovated to relocate our music program from the Performance Arts Building, also known as Building 46 West. That particular building has extensive infrastructure challenges that will require a complete reconstruction effort. And the current conditions is disrupting the learning experience for our students. As such, in order to move the music program, we have relocated the health services unit, and that has now moved to building 38 level A. The building 44 renovations is scheduled to be completed for the first day of the fall 26 semester. So in essence, our music program will be moving. We are expediting the renovations to ensure that that space is ready for the first day of class of the fall 2026 semester. Next slide, please. Renovations continue for building 39, level 3, administrative suite, and building 71. For the College of Arts and Science, these internal renovations include extensive MEP, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and HVAC upgrades and window replacements. The Building 71 Level 3 renovations are anticipated to be completed at the start.
Yeah,
Helen, I think you need to mute, please.
Janet, Ms. Joyner, please mute. Thank you.
Building 71 Level 3 renovations are anticipated to be completed at the start of fall 2026 semester. And for building 39, the third level, we anticipate having those renovations completed by December 2026. We have actually delayed those renovations in order to ensure that both the music program and the health center renovations were completed and put ahead of schedule of building 39. The Van Ness Parking Garage. If many of you have visited our garage, you'll see that construction activities continue for renovations of the main garage at Van Ness. The project is really addresses some infrastructure and structural issues that we had in this particular space. This is really wear and tear over the lifespan of this particular, that building or the garage. And we anticipate that that project will be completed by the fall 2026.
Mr. Franklin, could you hold up a second? I see Trustee Akins has his hand up.
Sure.
Yeah, can we go back to the previous slide? So what are we doing with Building 46 West after the music program moves out?
Yeah, it's a great question, Trustee Atkins. One of the things we had initially requested funding from the district to do the renovations for this building. Based on the financial condition of the district, we were not allocated any dollars for that. So this is one of those situations where for safety reasons, we wanted to, again, vacate or move our students and faculty and staff out. Do not have immediate plan at this point, because the dollars, in order to really do the renovations that's needed, it requires, when we did the initial assessment, it was somewhere in the vicinity of about $50 million.
Oh, let me just add on to that too. In our capital improvement plan, our capital requests, you know, we previously have requested funding for a renovation project, and we were allocated $1 million. And so there currently is a feasibility study underway to help us assess what the vision would be for that building, right, in terms of a new project. And so once that feasibility study is completed, we do plan to return back to the district with an appropriate capital request for a new project.
Okay, thank you.
Next slide, please. So let's talk a little bit about our lease updates. Doghouse, which is located in Building 52 of the law school, has actually opened its doors. We plan on doing a ribbon cutting with them, but the doors have officially opened on February 16th of this year. Tropical Smoothie, Building 56 of the Student Center. The store design drawings were approved by the university and are currently being reviewed by the Department of Buildings for issuance of the building permit. We anticipate that the cafe will be open at the ending of 2026. So we are looking either somewhere before Thanksgiving or before Christmas, somewhere in that timeline. So extremely excited about that. Next slide, please.
Well, Mr. Franklin, I can tell you that my staff is very excited about Doghouse. They go there at least once a week.
I'm happy to hear that, Trustee. I'm happy to hear that. I want to share the lease updates holistically. Pending approval for the final commercial lease space by the board at the next April meeting, the university will have signed 100% of our available commercial lease space. The university anticipates being at full capacity by the ending of FY26. This has been a journey, and I really and truly want to thank all that have been supportive of this. The university was in a very peculiar position whereby most landlords are able to offer what is known as tenant improvement funds. You're able to, in some cases, there's $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. Landlords are offering tenants to come in, renovate this space, and move in. The university simply did not have that option. So in terms of identifying potential tenants, it just made it a lot more challenging. But I'm happy to state again that over the last 4 years, we have brought Mom's, Organic Market, Realty, Doghouse, Chick-fil-A, Starbucks, Infinity Martial Arts, All Care, and Tropical Smoothie is on the way. And this is all done, again, just to revitalize our Van Ness Main Street and at the end of the day, Connecticut Avenue. And we've done a really, really, I'm proud of the efforts that we've done there, again, in the absence of capital improvement funds to offer landlords, we were left with just offering rent abatements. So it's going to take some time to see the funding associated with these particular projects, but it's coming.
Well, Mr. Franklin, before you move, we want to see all of our tenants do extremely well. Do you have an update on how well T is doing now? Has the foot traffic improved? How's business for them?
Yeah, so I actually spoke with Will T 2 weeks ago. Will T was extremely ecstatic or excited at the opening of Doghouse because they felt with the more foot traffic is just going to bring customers into their space. I still think that they're experiencing some challenges, Trustee. They have not expressed anything in the last month, but we are monitoring that extremely closely. As I said in the past, I think, you know, I've been to that particular site more than once. I think the biggest challenge that they have is that they're offering tea. Most individuals in this particular community in the United States as a whole are really coffee drinkers. So maybe if we were in England, it'd be a different take. But again, we're monitoring that. We're working with them. We're supporting them. They have offered discounts to our student, staff, and faculty. So we're taking our advantages there. And we're hoping for the best. But again, we're monitoring that extremely closely, actually on a monthly basis.
Thanks for that update, sir.
You're quite welcome. Next slide, please. Almost there. Executive searches. So I just want to share that executive searches, upcoming searches, we have the Vice President of Facilities and Real Estate Management. That search is on the way. We anticipate that we will be able to bring a candidate for consideration to the board in June with a start date of July 1st. Secondly, we have the search for the Vice President of Research. Again, we anticipate that particular individual being brought to the board in June as well, with the start date again of July 1st. And thirdly, the Dean of the David A. Clark School of Law, that particular search, again, the first rounds will begin in March. It is anticipated that this position we brought to the board for the June meeting, the individual being onboarded and starting July the 1st. Next slide, please. So for those who just joined us at the Audit, Budget, and Finance Committee, I just presented this slide, but because it came up, it's very clear, this is a topic that came up at our oversight performance hearing in collaboration with that of Trustee Rudd. We felt it was important to place it on the operations report from the CO. So the university received 6 findings in FY25, these particular findings are tied to 2 in the Office of Information Technology, one with respect to supporting documents not retained. The second one was the Bannon user terminated employee remained active, and those were 2 findings there. There was a finding within the Office of the General Counsel with respects to the contingency liability and it being overstated in our financial statement. The 2 other findings was within the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, which spoke to that of the depreciation error in the reporting, and also with respect to the student account receivable, that the billing did not reflect accurate AR balances. Last but not least, there was 1 finding within the Office of Public Safety, Emergency Management, which spoke to the fact that overtime assignments are not made with a standard approval process or procedure. I want to share, as I shared with the Audit, Budget, and Finance Committee, that these are recommendations. They are not material deficiencies, and that is important to note. I would also state that receiving a finding is not a bad thing. It allows us to really assess our systems and allow us to improve our policies, practices, and controls. At the end of the day, what I will commit to and have committed to is that based on these particular recommendations, you will not have repeat findings here. We have already started to do the necessary due diligence, the assessment, looking at what policies, procedures we can put in place. And we feel that when the auditors do return to assess the work that the university has done, that these will not be repeat findings.
Thank you so very much. I thought it was important that we share these with the board. During the performance oversight hearing, Chairman Mendelson mentioned them. He seemed to have been horned in on them. But I think the most important thing is to remember that the findings had no material deficiencies. However, we want to keep them on our radar so that they will be remediated and that there will be no repeat findings. And also that we will have a clean audit with no findings, hopefully the next time around. Are there any questions of Mr. Franklin regarding his report or any comments to be made by those on the platform?
I have a quick question. Going back to renovations, what's going on with the archives building? Has that been raised yet, or is that what's the start date to get that for the district to knock down that building?
So I'm going to defer to the fearless leader, President Eddington.
Thank you. I think we've been told that sometime this spring is the last update that I received. I don't have a specific month, but I have been updated a few different times that the plan is to demolish that structure sometime soon. And then the actual project potentially could be moved up a year. I've been told there's some conversations about shifting the funding that's in the current capital budget up 1 year, I think, which would allow the project to kick off sometime in fiscal year 2027.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any other comments?
So, I guess, do we need to lean in on DGS to get a definite date of when this building is coming down?
Yeah, I feel comfortable with the information they've shared. They've been pretty transparent and keeping us updated. I would say if by the end of this semester, if we don't see progress, that might be an opportunity to do what you said. But they've been pretty good about keeping us updated on where they stand.
Okay, got you. Thank you.
But thank you too, because we will call you back in if we need you again.
Any other questions or comments about the report, or in general comments to Mr. Franklin and his team? Hearing none, I think we have exhausted our agenda. And so the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn the March 10th meeting of the Operations Committee.
I so move.
Is there a second?
Bernard Grace, a second.
Second.
Okay, can we have a roll call vote to adjourn this meeting?
Dr. Rudd?
Yes.
Trustee Akins?
Yes.
Dr. Jackson?
Yes.
Trustee Grayson?
Yes.
Trustee Lopez?
Yes.
Madam Chair, motion carries.
Okay, thank you so very much. I want to thank the committee members as well as the staff for your support in making sure that we were efficient in operating and carrying out the agenda. And we will see you at 6 o'clock. Thank you so much. Bye.